This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Centre, www.imemc.org, for December the 2nd through to December the 8th, 2006.
The Israeli army killed three Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip during the first week of the fragile declared ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. The Gulf state of Qatar pledged to pay overdue salaries for the Palestinian education sector. No further progress in the formation of a Palestinian unity government or the proposed prisoner swap. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned.
Let's begin our weekly report with this week's peaceful actions against the annexation wall and other stories from the West Bank. Scores of internationals, Israelis and villagers conducted a peaceful demonstration against the illegal apartheid wall in Berlin. The Israeli army assaulted and abducted Berlin peace activist Ahmed Abu Hassan, 34. Ahmed was attacked by 10 soldiers as he pulled at a razor wire fence that forms part of the illegal wall in Berlin. Activists who came to his aid were beaten as the soldiers dragged them away by the hair. Ahmed was taken by soldiers holding him by the scruff of the neck and was then blindfolded. Every week, Berlin residents are targeted for abduction due to their role in non-violent resistance of the illegal wall. Greg, a British ISM activist, talked about the demo.
The soldiers were a little less aggressive than usual due to the fact that there was a large media presence, due to the fact that there are a lot of high-up members of Amnesty here today and there are lots of UN vans. But they did take away one Palestinian man. One girl, they ripped a bit of her hair out as she was trying to protect this man. On the retreat, soldiers fired some tear gas at some Palestinian children.
As protesters marched to the gate in the wall, soldiers were occupying the house of a Berlin resident and monitoring from the roof. After singing and chanting at the gate, some demonstrators protested with banners and flags along the route of the wall, whilst others pulled on the razor wire. This led to an immediate display of military force and Ahmed's arrest.
UN observers and the director of Amnesty International, Arin Khan, were present in the village during the demonstration and conducted interviews with villagers and nonviolent activists about the occupation, land theft in Belayn, and oppression of local residents. Ahmed is only the latest in a long line of Belayn residents to be abducted and held by the Israeli forces. Meanwhile, the Regional Council for the Arab Unrecognized Villages in the Negev erected a tent at the unrecognized Negev village of Tawayil to protest the demolition of 17 homes in the village, where supporters from other villages and international volunteers gathered in solidarity with the locals. Officials from the Interior Ministry and Israeli Land Authority demolished the homes, claiming that these houses were built without proper licenses. This is the fourth demolition in this village since the beginning of the year. The Israeli Ministry of Interior warned that 42,000 homes in unrecognized villages will be demolished. This is the first time that the authorities have demolished such a large number of homes in one village at the same time, said Faisal Sawalha of the Regional Council for the Arab Unrecognized Villages in the Negev. The RCUV described this new wave of demolition as a grave violation of citizen and human rights and an attempt to demolish and evacuate whole villages.
Israeli troops killed three Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip this week, including two children. Israeli soldiers also abducted 117 residents, including a woman and five children. The number of dead in Gaza since the beginning of Israel's offensive this June now stands at 473 Palestinians, 91 of them children and 29 women. 1,605 Palestinians, 330 of them children and 109 of them women, have been injured in that same time.
A child has died of wounds sustained last month during an Israeli invasion into Jabalia refugee camp in the north of the Gaza Strip. 10-year-old Abdul Qadir Abu Mahdi was among the seven children injured in that invasion. Rafah Crossing Point opened for several hours this Wednesday amidst weeks of intermittent closures. Among the thousands waiting on either side, only hundreds were allowed through, mostly patients who needed medical treatment. Rafah Crossing Point, at the border between Gaza and Egypt, is the only outlet for people in Gaza to leave. Commercial crossings were also opened briefly this week, allowing a rare supply of food into the Gaza Strip. Food and medical necessities have been in dangerously low supply in Gaza due to Israel's closures on the commercial crossings, moving international observers and human rights organizations to warn of a humanitarian crisis. This is Wael Abu Dahab, a spokesperson for the Palestinian Border Authority.
There is no reason for closing the crossing point, and the Israelis did not give any reason for this closure. However, unfortunately, the terminal has been closed after the Israeli military resumed its military invasions in the Gaza Strip after the capture of the Israeli soldier. The terminal was opened only a few days after international pressure. In addition, Mr. President Mahmoud Abbas instructed the Palestinian Border Authority to pressure Israel to open the terminal for humanitarian cases.
Two shot dead in the West Bank. 15-year-old Abdel Karim Jabal was shot dead when Israeli soldiers fired on a group of children who were throwing stones during an invasion into Askar refugee camp near Nablus. Mahmoud Mohammed Abdul Al, aged 24, was also killed this week. Originally from Khan Yunis, Abdul Al had been living in Tulkarem. He was killed when an Israeli undercover unit, accompanied by armoured vehicles, broke into a coffee shop and fired on the customers. Two children were also injured in the invasion. Israeli soldiers also abducted 117 residents this week, including five children and a woman. On Thursday night, the Israeli army, backed by at least 10 armoured vehicles, invaded the West Bank city of Hebron and surrounded two radio stations, forced the staff into one room and abducted one of them. Sayed Al-Shouki, a journalist at one of the invaded stations, talked about the detention conditions.
The occupation soldiers forced us, 15 people from both radio stations, all in one small room, and stripped, searched us and made us to crouch. The room was dark and they refused us to switch the lights on. Then the soldiers entered the studio and started saying on air, "This is Israeli radio from Jerusalem." In fact, these assaults are not new. They always targeted journalists.
An 11-year-old child, Miras Al-Azza, from the West Bank Aida refugee camp near Bethlehem, was seriously injured on Friday afternoon when an Israeli sniper fired live ammunition at him and six other children. The soldier fired from a military watchtower near a crossing by the camp while the children were playing in front of their family house. Al-Azza was playing with a toy gun. Fawzi Barhoum, a Hamas spokesperson, commented on Israeli violations of the two-week-old ceasefire in the West Bank and Gaza Strip.
So far, there are more than 80 violations to the ceasefire by the Israeli army in the West Bank, eastern and in northern Gaza Strip. Additionally, there are nearly 175 Palestinians taking prisoners over the past 10 days. Moreover, five Palestinians were killed and 12 houses demolished and frequent invasions in the West Bank.
The U.S. Congress approved the draft resolution that bans any contact between American officials and the Palestinian officials of the Hamas-led government until it renounces violence, recognizes Israel, and accepts the previously signed peace agreements with Israel. This resolution will be submitted to President George Bush to be signed. Meanwhile, both Fatah and Hamas leaders have declared that national unity talks have reached a dead end. After agreeing on a future prime minister, the parties have been unable to make any headway on ministerial posts. However, Deputy Prime Minister Nasser al-Din al-Sha'ar insisted the talks had in fact reached their final stages. The prisoner swap between the Israeli government and the Hamas movement is also at an impasse this week. The Israeli government has offered to release a fraction of the prisoners whose freedom Hamas has demanded. Hamas has called for the release of women, minors, and prisoners with lengthy imprisonment terms, totaling 1,400. Hamas is also insisting on the release of political leaders, including Marwan Barghouti of Fatah and Ahmed Saadat, Secretary General of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Fawzi Barhoum, Hamas spokesperson, talks about the latest in the prisoner swap.
There is no talks of new proposals. The deal that was reached between the Palestinian negotiators led by Mr. Khalid Mish'al and Mr. Amr Sulaiman were accepted by the Egyptians, who clarified it to the Israelis. Until this moment, we did not receive any clear response from the Zionist enemy regarding the approval of releasing Palestinian prisoners in a mutual and simultaneous manner with releasing Gilad Shalit. The ball is in the field of the Zionist occupation.
Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak said in a statement to a local Egyptian newspaper this week that the prisoner swap will be finalized soon.
United Nations aid groups are asking for $450 million in aid for 2007 to alleviate a deepening Palestinian humanitarian crisis. David Shearer, head of the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, warned of a rising poverty levels in Gaza, a place where even before the current siege, around two-thirds of residents were surviving on $2 or less a day. The UN now estimates that 65% of the Palestinians are living in poverty, and 29% are unemployed. Medical supplies are also in severe shortage, as the embargo imposed on Gaza by the UN, EU, Israel and the US continues. During his visit to the Gulf state of Qatar, Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh said the Qatari government has pledged to pay $30 million each month to cover the monthly salaries of Palestinian teachers. Dr. Samir Abu Aisha, Minister of Planning, said the crisis in the health sector will be solved soon and that workers will soon receive another fraction of their salaries.
We actually started money transfer procedures to the employees' bank accounts on Sunday. However, we couldn't complete the transactions, so we needed to change the transfer to go channel the money through the regional divisions of the Ministry of Health. However, at the last moment, we had to transfer the money through the banks again, which added to the delay.
The financial crisis of the Palestinian government is caused not only by the international sanctions, but also by the Palestinian tax revenues, estimated at $550 million, Israel withheld since Hamas took power earlier this year, which, if paid, would cover the overdue salaries of the governmental employees.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check out our website at www.imemc.org. As always, thanks for joining us. From Occupied Bethlehem, this is Timothy Seidel,
Oliver Ecott,
and Hassan Banoura.